Morning. Good morning, Sunrise family. Happy Sunday. It's a new month. First Sunday in August, and has been some of the most amazing weather of the summer that we've been able to enjoy. Welcome to our weekly Sunrise Project call. We are happy that you are here and that you can find a moment of solace and peace as we share and learn from one another in a safe space that's filled with love, compassion, and a mutual desire to heal our children, our family, ourselves, and I'll add a mutual desire to breathe. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, the courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I'm gonna read that again one more time. God, just with me, just take a deep breath as I'm reading this. Just inhale and exhale, take a deep cleansing breath. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, the courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And if you are, I'll say, a regular or you've been with us for some period of time, you know that on the first Sundays, typically we have Dr. Linda McGee with us sharing in an open session forum, and she is traveling today and asked for some grace to be with us another Sunday this month. So she will be with us another Sunday this month. And Kelly, likewise, is traveling. So this morning, I will be hosting our conversation and dialogue this morning along with our executive director, DSAP, and we are so excited to have each of you here. If this is your first time, I am Dr. Vicki Johnson. I am a speaker, transformational speaker, chaplain. I'm a spiritual mentor to so many, an emotional wellness advocate and author, and the founder of Soul Wealth, which is the umbrella under which I empower others, inspire others to live from the saucer and not from the cup. Soul Wealth is made up of five tenets: vision, compassion, authenticity, abundance, and legacy. And I believe wholeheartedly that we cannot manifest those things outside of ourselves in the world, in our families, as parents, as sons and daughters, aunts and uncles, whatever your role is that you're playing, hopefully first in your life and then in the lives of others. You can't manifest that until you have that in your life. I'm also the host of the Soul Wealth Radio Show podcast, which is a daily podcast on most of your favorite podcast platforms, as well as DC Radio and 96.3 HD4, which is WHUR here in the Washington, DC area. And lastly, I host monthly sound bath experiences, and we need those now more than ever. And so we're going to have an open call today. If there's anything on your heart that you would like to share, that you would like to talk about, one of the things that I love about the Sunrise community is the shared experiences. Iyanla Van Zandt, of course, many of us know her from either her books or her longstanding show on OWN, Fix My Life. You know, one of the things that I've heard her say over and over again many times is that if it's in the chair, it's in the room. Meaning, whoever is willing to voice their current experience, whatever they're going through, whatever they're dealing with, more than likely they're not the only person dealing with that particular situation or circumstance. And so I can open up today's conversation, and Dee and I were having a pre-conversation before we got on the call, you know, that I am tired. And It's not the exhaustion that a good night's sleep will fix. It's something that is requiring me to be consistent and to be disciplined in my self-care and how, I am taking care of myself and honoring my boundaries, because this is what's real and what's true, that we're living in some definitely challenging and uncertain times for many people, especially those of us who are parents and parents of young adult children. I'm stressed. I have a young adult, and she's experiencing some challenges. And as her mother, I feel that. It's a complex web for all of us in our own respective circumstances, I'll say, of interconnected issues that can feel overwhelming. And that's the word that has come up for me more than once, recently, is the feeling of overwhelm. And so today I just want to open up the space so that we can share in this safe and sacred space, get some support, ask questions. What are you doing to deal with the stress of life? Not just the stress of parenting, the stress of life, the stress of existing in this current, I'm going to say, timeline. Everything from global disasters to what's happening in our country politically. I've just not watched the news. I've had to turn off the news because I don't want that, have not wanted that on top of what I'm already feeling. And then it trickles down, to our communities. Some of us, our places of employment, our jobs, our businesses, if you're a business owner, and our careers, then to our families. And then ultimately, it trickles down into our bodies, our emotions, and our heart spaces. So just want to open up the call today. If anyone would like to share anything, ask any question, and we can go from there. If not, I can keep talking about what many of us are facing, job and finance challenges and uncertainties. I had a conversation earlier this week with someone who's been in the federal government for over 25 years, and that's been their only job. And they are in a full-blown panic right now because they were kind of pushed out, even though they were offered the fork in the road. There weren't too many options available. And so that is a real challenge for a lot of people, how they're dealing with their finances. For those of us in the sandwich generation, like me, taking care of and supporting elderly parents and having a young adult child and grandchildren. And then me. And I want to reverse that. Like, I've been fully aware that I have to fill up my cup first. And when I'm on empty or when I'm feeling depleted, I have to shut down because I have nothing to give anybody else in those moments. So, just feeling the overwhelm and allowing myself to take care of myself has been a blessing. Jade, I can see that you are sharing. Oh, I love that. Look in the chat, D, and look at what
I just bursted out laughing because this happens every time you moderate a conversation. Every single time you'll have to tell Jade why we're laughing, but every time, Dr. Vicky.
goodness, Jade, before we started, D and I were talking about plants. And I literally said, D, look at my green room, right? Because I'm standing in the space where my beautiful plants are. And I said, plants are therapy for me. And I said, you should talk to your plants, D. And she was like, I don't talk to him, but every time I go to a farmer's market, I find myself coming home with a new plant, right? And I'm standing in my house, like, where am I going to put this plant? And so I said, look at my plants. And so I turned my computer around. I was like, look. And I'm just kind of panning the room where my plants are. And so then she says, well, after the call, stay on so I can show you all of my plants. And so for you to share your beautiful plant, can you? Oh my goodness. I love the serendipities of Sunrise and this space and my work. I love when these things happen. So, Jay, can I kind of put you on the spot and ask, is this your only plant? Are you just getting started?
Child, I'm running out of space and containers. I was like, let me go get some more soil. Because if I go out and do that, other than the mosquitoes, it is really it's there's serendipity and layers in that, in thinking of the cycles and the various things. But there's a Italian term, and I guess I shouldn't even brought up that it was Italian because I ain't gonna say it right. But tending to your garden is a framework that they say when stuff is feeling overwhelmed and out of control, just tend to your garden, tend to your garden. And so I found every empty container I'm saving. I got plastic bottles everywhere for self-irrigating. And I just started I don't know what I'm doing exactly, but that's part of it too, is to take the step, see what happens. Not all the seeds come up, it really has been therapeutic. And while I can't say I'm doing it disciplined, like intentionally disciplined, it kind of is creating that. You get up and you can water them and pull up some seeds and see what's happening and check on them periodically. I probably look like I'm caring for a children's nursery the way I be watching over them, don't. And then I do talk to them. They have names. I have a radish. Okay, I guess I could just better show y'all. I tried some radishes, but when I talk about containers, I had a old barbecue pit. So it's Rad Pit. Over here, I can, and Aletha Franklin. So I talk to them and I name them. And now I'm, so here's Rad Pitt. Oh, let me clean my screen. Here you go, Rad Pitt and his crew. Put some, I don't know if that's blurry, put some watermelon and some squash. See the bottles.
Yep.
So yeah,
I'm
it's
dying
become
over
a
Aletha Franklin and Rad Pitt. Y'all got me on
Aaliyah.
that.
I
We be
love it,
talking,
Jay.
and now I find myself talking. I'm talking to bees. I'm talking to birds. I'm talking to butterflies. I'm like, good morning, sweetie. And I used to run from that stuff. Like, if I hear them, I'm gone. But yeah, y'all got me. Here's some cucumbers that may or may not do anything.
This is the thing, Jade, why I so love and thank you so much for inviting us in to your garden and showing us how you're tending to your garden. Because what is powerful about that is you're using what you have. And I think that is the beauty of the message today, is that frequently we don't take action because we don't think we have the things and the tools that we need.
I
But I'm
didn't.
going to use this word. I'm going to say you took scraps,
Yes.
okay? And
Because I
whatever
didn't have the
you
money.
had,
I didn't have the money to go buy the fancy stuff.
to use as a container. Like, I love this so much. It
Come
is
on, teach Vicky.
really, really blessing me because the message to us this morning is use what's in your hands. Use what's in your house. Use what's in your head, right? Not I gotta go. I can't do this. I can't do that because I don't have the resources. And that is the message of this time that we're in, and the power of community, and why, again, I love the Sunrise Project community. And I'm so grateful for each of you and us as one unit, as one. When we come together and hold space, I needed this. I couldn't wait for this call this morning. Because, like I said, I have been overwhelmed and frankly exhausted and concerned, right? Like, it does not erase how we are feeling and hoping and praying for our children, because I think about how I feel about what's happening in the world, right? How is that impacting our children who are already living with some unique challenges? It compounds it, really. And then I have elderly parents, so grateful that they are both still here and that we have the privilege to honor and support them in their last years. Then I'm not worried about them, but I am thinking about them. And so it's a lot that is going on. I see, and I'm telling you, my plants do it for me. When I get up in the morning, I run. This is the first place I come to. I run in here. This is where the sun rises. Like, and I just stand and sit in this space sometimes. When I have my grandson, I put him in this space, open the door. I'm like, listen to the birds. You're gonna do your morning meditation. Just we're gonna sit right here. We're not running to Bluey just yet, right? Or Gracie's Corner. You're gonna sit here and listen to the birds, and we're just gonna give thanks and be grateful. I see in the chat, one of our community members. Yes, I make him meditate. We're gonna use these tools right away. D said, "No, not making the baby meditate." Yes, I do. You're gonna learn how to be still, and sit, and still allow space for him to be a child. But someone else said that they feel unappreciated. How many of us can relate to that? Feeling unappreciated. And I've learned when I've had that feeling to reduce, if not eliminate, inserting myself in places where they didn't ask for my help. Because I will admit that I've been, not recently, I'm practicing, and this is who I am. And who I am becoming simultaneously is a daily practice. Who we are and who we are becoming happen simultaneously. Both things can be true. We are being who we are, and we are becoming the highest, best version of ourselves, which is why we're all here in this space, right? We need a place of respite. We need a place to breathe. We need a place to exhale. And there's a lot of wisdom that comes through this community on a weekly basis. And so for that, because she's going to listen because she's type A, shout out to you, Kelly. She's going to come back and listen to the replay line. So I just want to honor her and say thank you, Kelly, for holding space for us as you hold space for yourselves for the last 5 years. I mean, this is a part of my Sunday routine. Like, don't ask me to do anything at this time on a Sunday. If I can be on here, I will be. But I am so grateful for the wisdom to stop inserting myself and to pull back. And as it relates, I'll share. And anybody that wants to share, please unmute or type in the chat what's on your heart or thoughts. I just want to share that. My first instinct is to fix what I see. That's my first instinct because I'm a leader. You know, I played sports for years, and on every team that I played on, I was the captain because I want to see other people win. I'm drawn to the underdog, right? So if I see something and I'm like, oh, I know how to. And, you know, in the recent past, God is like, that's not your problem to fix. It's not your lesson to learn. And it is very difficult I will admit, because confession is good for the soul. It is difficult to watch your child or watch our children navigate their challenges when you know a better way. It's not easy to do.
My sons, so I'm in the very beginnings of divorce. I think when I first joined the call, I couldn't get through it without really weeping and struggling through those first couple of weeks of realization. But my sons are 17, 18, and 20 that are home, and the only daughter is out away at college. But my sons seem to be in this space of they want their independence, and like you said, it's hard to see them make decisions. And then it seems like I'm kind of in this middle space of I don't need to parent them anymore, but they still need me to parent them, like doctor's appointments, they're not making them, and I'm still trying to make them go get the application in, you know, that kind of thing. And I'll start it and then I'll stop and I'll start and I'll stop. Like, okay, no, you got it. But did you know, it's really tricky as a mother. That's been our role. And something Tina Lifford said was, forgive yourself not for what you did or didn't do, but for judging yourself for it. And when I wrestle with that, like, ooh, I'm inserting myself, I feel like I'm judging, like, don't do that, don't do that. You know, it's like slapping my hand. My youngest, who's 17, he said, I need you to do that, Mom. But it wasn't until he said, I need you to do that, that it helped to kind of remove that grief. But they're operating in such different spaces of this divorce, too. And they're not very communicative. So I don't know where I'm needed or not. And often I do feel like I'm plugging in. But that they just not quite there. That sister you had on the other week when she was helping her son tie the shoe, and people are talking about her bad. You know, he's too old for you to be still trying to tie a shoe. It feels like that in this space. And they don't want to talk about the divorce, but then they're trying to figure out what all the impacts are, why we're struggling, how come we can't find. It's difficult, but they'll come looking for me and they'll come out in this garden and that's how they know where to find me, but I don't know where to go from there in trying to help or not help, shelter or not shelter, speak or not speak.
Thank you for sharing that, Jade. I see you. I see your hand, Jules. Now I'm going to come to you, Manaya. That there was a call. I can't remember who the speaker was. And D, you might remember. They said we go from, it might have been Dr. Linda, we go from being parents to being coaches, right? And there's a difference in the energy and in the approach when you're parenting versus when you're coaching. And I snatched that day out of the air and put it right here and in my head because I intended in that moment to become a coach to my daughter. Have you considered, and that sounds like this, have you considered what about blah, blah, blah? Think about those things instead of what you need to do. And I don't know why you're doing that anyway. That's stupid. Or, you know, why would you do that? Or I told you that was going to happen. Making the shift from that. And even if I thought those things, right? Because I don't talk to my daughter like that. Even thinking those things, I was judging myself for. And then I thought, well, what were you doing at 31? You know, how are you navigating your late 20s and early 30s? I was learning a lot of lessons, I tell you that. And that's what I'm still doing. So thank you, Jade, for sharing that. Thank you so much. And you will know what to do next. Let me just say, you will know what to do next because the instinct we have as moms and dads, aunts and uncles, the instinct we have is usually spot on because it's in alignment directly to divine and holy wisdom. So we know. And you will know. In the meantime, keep tending to that scrappy garden you have that is so beautiful. That just gave me some relief this morning. So thank you. Thank you. I saw another hand. Now you want to unmute? Go
Hi,
ahead, man.
hi y'all. What exactly when Grace was saying that, I snatched the same thing, was saying as a coach. That shift has been, I have three boys, and but by trade, by profession, I'm a teacher. And so what you learn, and I guess professionally, I see it so often, is I've got to let them do it, even if they make mistakes, because the learning is the journey. And I don't give my opinion unless it's asked. And that took a long time, but something around the age of when they turn 18 and they're out of, they're in that stage, it's been so hard. But I've had to do it. Now, one of my challenges yesterday, I just memorialized my auntie, and it was for, and she was ill for a long time, and I'd been taking care of her for a long time before she even went into the nursing home. And one of the things that occurred is as we were planning for her memorial service, her son, who I've raised, he was very much like, I think I got this. I got all of this. And thanks for the condolences. I think I got all of this. And then I'm like, oh, 50, huh? Do you think there might be more people? Oh, do you think we should have a program? I mean, what do you think about that? And just things that I thought were like so, like, how many services have you been to? You know what happens is what I was thinking. Like, come on now, how many times you've seen me? But I had to allow them to do it. And what really got to me is my friend said, if you don't let them do it, yours is going to be a mess one day. And that was like such a wake-up call. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I've got to coach them in the way so they could learn to do when I'm gone. And the call we had, I think it was last week or the previous week, about what happens when you're gone. And so that shift for me at this point is thinking, man, I have about 30, maybe 30, God willing, or more sunrises left. And what left don't they know how to do? And that changed it me from stepping out of the mothering role to a different seat. What else do they know how to do that they, because they've seen it all. So at this point in our lives of us raising our kids, we truly and honestly, they have seen it all. So the errors or the challenges, it becomes, nope, they got to learn how to do this. And I kind of have to coach them through it. And I literally, the biggest growth is for him to understand, wow, I need three or four more. Oh man, I need five more. Okay, maybe. And then even though he ended up getting 10 tables, he ended up needing five more and having to scramble and do it. And that's even after I went over who I thought, look, I thought it was so obvious. Let's go over who I think gonna come and let's just do the math. Oh my goodness. But I had to hold myself from saying, this is what you need to do so that they could go through the experience and learn, okay, I'm going to have to. And yes, it was not, I wasn't pleased that they ran out of a few things, but you know what? They'll be ready the next time. They will have learned the next time. And that coaching on the side is important. And like Vicky, like what you just said about not asking like the coaching questions, I highly recommend to the group that it is worth it for you to get a book on coaching.
because it really helps your relationship with your children and your family and your colleagues. You'll find it really makes a difference even in friendships. So even as friendships, that those are the friends, you have some friends that you're like, okay, you'll be fine. And those friends like, girl, no. This is what you need. But it's changed always. It's still like, as problems come in, I feel like I'm a better friend because I don't tell my friends what to do. I kind of ask them those coaching questions to help them develop the skills to really, unpack. And I find my friends doing that for me. So I just wanted to put that out there because it's made a big difference in the relationship that I've had with my loved ones.
Thank you so much. That was such a beautiful share. Again, condolences to you and your family. I too was at a memorial service yesterday and had an experience of minding my business. Oh gosh, I'm gonna say lovingly minding my business. It was like, do you want to do this or do you want to do that? And my response was, whatever you need me to do, I'm here to serve. You let me know.
Exactly. And it's hard, but sometimes, what you learn is if you're a type A or if you've always been in charge, and,
Yes.
with me, and I have administrator mindset too.
Yes.
You
Me too.
know, I have administrator mindset. I'm like, why is this not so obvious in my head? And just it's an unlearning. And so I can just say, since sunrise, and I give credit to sunrise, since sunrise, I have spent more time unlearning. And it has helped me and my health the most. So back to your point, Vicky, about the health. I mean, I had a major health scare and it was all stress related. The digestive issues are stress related. A few things that I changed were the diet, but a lot of it, there are some people who talk it out. I'm not one of those people. I'm one of those people who internalize it because I'm not a big complainer. They tell you people who complain a lot, sometimes they're not as sick, but when you keep it all in and you don't find a physical outlet, you really start tearing up your own body. And there is a book that I read, it calls The Body Keeps Score. I forgot who the author was, but it really talked about why I'm having I was having more health issues and all of these digestive issues that come and manifest and the stress related with it. So I just don't know where anybody else is on the call with the health and the understanding the impact of stress, but making these changes and minding my own business and being a coach has actually improved my health because I have enough things that I can't help but worry about anyway. So taking on, not taking on the others has been very, very beneficial.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I will add that the stress for me manifests when I'm asleep. So we're not always aware of it. And it was showing up for me. I'll just share, I'm very transparent. It was showing up for me with heart palpitations, like my heart beating really fast in the morning. Like I could hear my heartbeat in my ear. Never in the past have I struggled with high blood pressure, pressure being high, and just feeling bad. And I had to just stop, like, stop, because I'm a living kidney donor. Okay, so I only have one kidney. Like all of these things started coming before me, like reset right now. So I started getting up in the morning, walking, drinking my lemon water, doing sound baths and sound healing, which works amazingly. I've been in touch with my doctor. She's monitoring me and walking alongside me. She's my partner in my healthcare. Because I don't want to just be given a bunch of prescriptions. I was like, nope, I'm going to do everything that I can do. And this call is a part of my self-care regimen. And so, again, I'm so grateful to each of you for being here because in 2025 and moving forward, community is currency, whether it's this one and another one, or you create a small group in your community. Community is currency. Pull people together that you love, pull people together that you can stand shoulder to shoulder with and be like, Jay, grow a whole farmer's market in your backyard with some water jugs and an empty barbecue grill. Like, I am so serious. It is time for us to lock arms even more, lean in even more, go deeper, even more, wider. It doesn't have to be a lot of people, just people of like minds. And that's what I love about the Sunrise community. We are here on one accord, like I said, as one. We move as one. So if it's in the chairs in the room and I am sharing, hopefully to inspire or raise awareness for one of you or even someone that you may know who may be going through some of the similar things that have been shared here this morning. So does anybody else want to share? We are moving along so beautifully. Yeah, starting now, asking what happened to you rather than what's wrong with you. I love that. I love that. Dee, I see your hand. Please share.
Good morning again, Dr. Vicki
Good
Johnson.
morning.
So quick spin on the coaching our kids conversation. One thing that's come up for our generation, which would be Gen X, is that there are a lot of things that we didn't know as women, and I mean and men that our parents didn't share with us that we wish that they would have. And you didn't ask because you didn't know. So when I think about things like childbirth, relationships, money management, menopause, all the things. And there's a way, and I'm very conscious about this with my daughter of having these conversations because there's no guarantee that I'll be here as she goes through these different shifts in her life. And I don't want her to feel like she has to figure things out, or that, oh, I never saw my mom go through menopause. I mean, she's here. I mean, not physically in my house, but in my life, but she doesn't know what all comes with that. So I don't ever want her thinking something is wrong with her. So in that coaching piece, or kind of being partners in their life, I think it's important that we, I don't want to say insert, I can't think of the right words, but these are those conversations, those woman to woman, man to man conversations that I do think we need to have with our kids. I mean, to Manaya's point of preparing them for all the things, including them and what's happening to us. I mean, because childbirth is normal, pregnancy is normal, but it doesn't look the same, for everyone, and it's scary. So that's just kind of my thoughts on that, being really intentional on things that would have, I just don't ever want my kids to say, I wish my mom would have told me this or shared this with me. So what are your thoughts on that, Dr. Vicki?
I agree with pouring the wisdom when given the opportunity. And I can tell you that because I pivoted from parent to coach, it's like making that shift has caused my daughter to lean in more, right? Where I would call her with the 20 questions. What's going on with this? Why is this? So what are you gonna do about that? I'm like, God, you see, you know, she belongs to you. Right? Now she calls me, Mom, what do you think about? Well, and she's the mom of a 16-month-old and pregnant due in 2 months, right? So she's gonna have two under two in what is already a stressful situation, right? I'm concerned about that. However, and I just give her what I have. How can I support you? These are questions I ask her. How can I support you? It could be as simple as, do you have lunch today at work? I'm on my way. I have to pass your job to go into my office. You need a case of water at the house? You know, just different things and sharing, well, you know, when I was pregnant, this happened, right? Sharing my lessons. So, as much as possible and prayerfully, she doesn't feel the pressure to be perfect and to get it right, and not judging her and not making her feel bad for the struggle. Is a lot of the struggle because she didn't listen? Yep. But what I know not to say is, I told you so, right? It's to say and be present with my support so she can learn her lessons. And I can see her maturing, right? I can see her maturing and growing in certain ways. So I think that's really powerful and important, D, that we tell the truth. as we referenced Tina Lifford, who I love, the Inner Fitness Project. Am I telling myself the truth about this situation? Yeah, that's powerful. Because sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I just kind of, I've learned, I played basketball. I got game, she got game. I know how to pivot real quick. And sometimes I'm like, now you need to just not sit down, sat down. I'm from the South. Sometimes you just need to sat down. And are you telling yourself the truth about that? And if not, what is the truth? Go deeper. And so that's what I offer today, is for us to go deeper in our truth and transparency and vulnerability, because when our children see us navigating and moving like that, then it gives them permission to do the same. Like Marianne Williamson said, we are powerful beyond measure, and us living in our light and shining our light gives other people permission to do the same. In this case and context, for us, it's our children, it's our family members. My great niece called me. I see you, Jade. I'm going to come to you. It's my great niece. She gave me a call. She texted me a few days ago. I'm shocked because, y'all, she's 15. Okay. She sent me a text and it was, "Hello, auntie. On my next school break, can I come visit you?" Now, she lives in a different state. That's significant to me because, teenagers don't reach out. They're doing a teenager thing. So for her to reach out and then call, when I call me back and actually want to have a conversation with me, I'm like, whoa. And actually want to come spend some time with me, whoa, again. That's because of Sunrise, I'm telling you. I've learned tools that I'm implementing, not just with my child, but with my nieces and nephews, my great nieces and nephews, and there's a lot of them, and my siblings and my parents and my cousins and friends. Like I think Manaya said, it reaches to all relationships. I have become a master at not inserting myself. I'm telling you, I mind my business. I'm like, that has nothing to do with me. It does, because I care, but in this moment of actualizing the lesson, I have, that has nothing to do with me. And I don't want to circumvent anybody's lesson because it's going to come back to haunt them later. It's a skill that, and a lesson. I'll share a quick story, then I'm coming to you, Jade. I had a job some many years ago, probably 30 years ago, one of my first jobs out of college. And I was an executive assistant for an executive, a C-suite person. And in my memos, I was every now and then using IT apostrophe S or ITS. Okay. It's. And one day she came to me. She said, I always remember this. This is like 30 years ago. She came to me. She said, "Vicky, you are brilliant. Like, you are so smart. But this one thing right here has been consistent that I've had to correct in some memos." And we were laughing about it. And she said, "You must have been absent from school the day they did that lesson, because I missed it." You understand? Like, I wasn't upset that she brought it to my attention. I actually appreciated it, because I'm a communicator. I am a communicator. And she said, "I'm serious. Like, you must have missed that lesson." Like you probably weren't in school the day the teacher gave that lesson. Because you do that consistently. And I never forgot that. And I never made that mistake again. Like as soon as she brought it to my attention, I got it and I implemented it. And sometimes when we insert ourselves and we want to fix things for our children and people we love, and we want to cover them and we don't want them exposed to certain things, they miss the lesson. And in their future, there's going to come a moment when they will need that skill set that they won't have because we didn't want them to get stung by the bee of life, right? In a moment, we didn't want them to experience that, and we short circuit their personal growth and development. So that's my lesson, Jade. You raised your hand, but I just wanted to share that my prayer, that serenity prayer, is not just words. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things that we cannot change. Here you go, the courage to change the things that we can and the wisdom to know the difference. God, give us courage not to want to fix everything. You know, and yes, we want our children to have a better experience than we had. Like we want them to have legacy and stand on our shoulders and not have to start from lower than we were, or, you know, that we want them to have a better life than we did. Yes, we do. And we want to cultivate character. We want to cultivate integrity. We want to cultivate, here's one that's missing from a lot of places, critical thinking, emotional intelligence. These are the intangible things that I want to pass on to my daughter, and I invite you to really write out those intangible things as legacy that we want to pass on to our children. So, okay, Jay, because we got about 7, 8 minutes, and I want to make sure anybody can share. So you have the floor.
Well, actually, I would just want to not even take up that space because I feel like I've occupied a good bit. But in what you just said, the two things, that serenity prayer, we blow over the serenity part, the peace of knowing that there are things that are out of our control, that peace that I don't need to insert because it is. Courage will emphasize in that prayer so that we can be strong when we can't do something physically, but you really helped me see that that serenity is a strength and a legacy that I need to pass on in the things that are well beyond our control. But as you were talking earlier, and this is brief, you were talking about how to help and coach that you might offer support. And I, for a moment there, I thought about that's the same as with these plants. Like, we're not forcing them anywhere or affecting anything before we even see the leaves or the sprouts. But we can see if they need some water, we'll give them some water. We can see if they need some more sun, we give them some sun. We see if they need some fertilizer, we give them some fertilizer as tenders of these gardens, as tenders and caregivers and stewards of these children. So thank you for all of that. And I appreciate the space you all allowed me to share today too.
You're welcome, Jay. Thank you so much. You've added tremendously, not just today, but frequently as well. And one of the things about the plants, I'll just share and open the floor is open if you want to share, ask a question or leave a comment. But one of the things that I got from your share today, Jade, is nature is going to do what nature does, and it doesn't need our help. Boom, bam. You put a seed in some dirt, it's going to grow. You give it water and sunlight, it's going to grow. Like we don't have to get in the dirt, right? In the dark, except the seed fall into the ground and die. It abides alone and then it produces fruit. So nature does what nature does. And I believe that God has given us tools as parents, moms, dads, aunts, uncles. God has given us the tools that we need to do what we need to do. One plant, one waters, and God gives the increase, y'all. God gives the increase. So keep planting seeds, keep watering seeds, and then release it because it is God who gives the increase, like our plant lesson today. We plant the seed in the soil. We put it either in light or not too much light. We water it and we go about our day. Like when you leave home, are you thinking about, I wonder how my plants are doing? No, you water them, you go on vacation, you do all the things. You have a friend or a trusted person. Can you go over my house like once a week while I'm gone and water my plants? Don't overwater them now. Don't drown them. Just make sure the soil is moist and then they're good. And don't go back. I'll be back, right? Our children are our plants. Our children are our garden. Our children are our gardens. So, does anybody have anything else they want to share before we close the call today?
Hi, Dr. Vicky. It's Chandra. Hi,
Hi.
Dee. How are you? I've been working, but I have 5 minutes. I've also been trying to think about how to share this in a succinct manner. And obviously, I've been on the call for the last year, and I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Can't say it enough. But definitely, I have. My kids have ADHD and they're opposite ends of the spectrum where one wants to be perfection and then the other one just wants to get it done as minimal as possible without checking his work. And so that's sort of been our lives for the last 18 years. Well, finally, we got our son out of high school, but not without like a lot of work. And we've been fortunate enough to be able to get the counselor and the neuropsych testing and the EF coach, but still, you know, it's you still try to figure out how to instill that self-motivation in that child, that figuring out what they are interested in, what their goals are. So finally graduated from college and he wants to go to culinary school. So he got into that and the plan for that in September. And even when you think you're sort of out of the woods, but you still feel like, you know, I wish this kid, this is my 18-year-old son, would develop a little bit more responsibility, you know, help out around the house, not have to tell him what to do, even though he has some deficiencies with ADHD, you're just hoping and praying. And he started. My kids were homeschool and then they went to traditional school. And that was a mistake because my son, a little bit comes out over time. Like he got bullied and just a lot of cultural things that he wasn't used to. And then he started vaping to cope, some self-harm behavior. He was in rehab. We did all the things. And literally, it's only been, and then he stopped vaping. And, you know, we thank God. He had been clean. And anytime a kid is doing any kind of drugs with ADHD and has a chaotic mindset, it even becomes more chaotic and more irrational. And so my husband and I are constantly praying and constantly talking. We talk a lot to him. And we went out of the country and right when we were about to come back in, we were going to take a flight. I looked in his room and I see another vape pen. And he's 18 now. So we're having those back and forth with him just, you know, prior to, oh, I'm 18, I'm adult, but you know they're not adult. You know they are nowhere near able to be an adult in your mind. And you're so afraid for them. So anyway, that was like a back and forth. You know, I threw it away. I was so angry on that 17-hour plane back to the States. Fast forward. So, my husband and I had, you know, more conversations, 2-hour conversations, and we gave it to God. You know, he's a smart kid. He has, you know, a loving family, but you can't, there's nothing physical we can do for him to keep him from making the decisions or having these desires and or trying to cope with life with these external objects. There's physically nothing we can do anymore. So we said, you know, we're not going to support your wants and desires. You either get, I'm happy to support you in culinary school, But everything else you want, you have to go and get it. Anyway, we do have a couple businesses. My husband has a dessert company. I'm a surgeon. So, very busy family. So, within the last 4 days, he went to work for my husband's company, which he has in the past, but half the time he's looking at his phone, especially when he was younger. And for the last 4 days, he's been around other guys at the shop where they have made an impression on CJ, because there's something about there was a there's a podcast with Michelle Obama and Barack Obama, where Barack was saying that kids need to have other role models, other men, other people around them, especially men, so that they can identify within themselves and figure out what it is to be a man. So I'm just quickly to say that my husband and I kind of had to take ourselves out of it and say, these are your options. You can work and pay for school. You can work and pay for what you want. You can work and we will support you, but these are the hard, points that you have to live up to. So he's been working for 4 days, 8 hours a day. He is, just by the grace of God, he is slightly a different person. It's, hard for a parent to say, oh, okay, he's great, he's better, he's improved, because we're telling him he needs to take God with him. Everything from now is what we've placed into him, those seeds that we've placed into him, and now he has to decide to use them. And so for the last 4 days, it's been just a remarkable transition having these other guys that he looks up to and respects. And he's saying, oh, I got to get to sleep because I got to get to work on time. Such and such is not going to let me work, is going to kick me out if I don't do my part. And that is something that we haven't heard before. So I say all that to say that it's a lot and it's hard, and you can't do it without God. You can't do it without prayer. But you just keep going to sleep and waking up, and it's a new day, and you don't know what the day will bring, and don't give up.
Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here consistently. And I believe the seeds of your time that you've invested over the last year are now producing a harvest in the life of your children, right? It's like you're starting to see those green buds burst through the soil back to the garden. You know, you see a little bit of progress. You're like, oh, that seed is fruitful. It is germinating, right? And as with plants, they grow, our children grow. But for a plant to continue to grow, you have to prune it sometimes, right? So it sounds like the pruning is, I'll support this, but I won't support that, which made room for him to make different choices. And lastly, I want to say to you is, we'll take the win one day at a time. Every day is a victory. Every day he goes and comes back and goes to sleep because he wants to get up to get around some other young men doing the same thing. We'll take it, God, one day at a time, one victory at a time, one choice at a time. And I just speak continued grace and peace to you because that sounds like a very highly charged career and family dynamic at the same time, which you have shared on the call. So kudos to you for showing up for you. And in your career, I remember when I gave, and we'll be closing, no, we're a little over. In your career, I remember when I gave my cousin a kidney. Right prior to the surgery, my surgeon said to me, you know, Vicky, this is one of the most altruistic things you can do. And what I want to say to you is something that I want you to remember in recovery. Every day gets better. Every day gets better. And that's what I want to say to you. Every day gets better. Keep showing up, keep shining, keep being the mom you are, keep coming here with us to exhale as much as you can because we give each other life here in this space. And so I'm so grateful for your transparency and your vulnerability this morning. But I'll take the win. 4 days and counting, right? Okay, today's a new day. Tomorrow's a new day. And so we just decree and declare, you know, continued fortitude. and determination for him to move forward into who he's becoming.
Yes.
And that God give you grace as his mom to observe,
Right.
and support with your love and with your prayers, because the wind of God can take our children places that we never could do that
Right.
physically. So thank you so much for sharing. Y'all, I got to close this call because, like I said, Kelly's going to listen and she's type AD and she's going to be like, oh my God, they went 6 minutes over. Just kidding. She's going to love this conversation. Thank you all for being here. I want to close the way we started. God grant us the serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, the courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Go with God today, ladies and gentlemen. Go tend to your garden, as Jade said to us so eloquently at the beginning of this call. And know that nature is going to do what it does. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday, same time here on the Sunrise Project. Have a powerful day, everyone. Bye.